This episode of Literary Treks is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and to help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Taking all these books?
I thought I'd take some light reading in case I got bored.
Welcome everyone to Literary Treks. Sorry, just ran here. I'm Bruce Gibson. I'm one of your hosts, and we are the official Star Trek books and comics podcast here of the Trek FM Network. And I couldn't run here without my co-host Dan Gunther. Dan, how are you doing on this workout?
I'm just finishing up a Riker's leg extension there. I am a little out of shape, but luckily I think today's episode is going to help with that. So, Yeah,
just so to clue you guys in, the feature today is going to be on a new book that has come out called Star Trek Body by Starfleet. And the author is Rob Perlman. And it is about exercise, and it's related to Star Trek. And so we're going to talk to him about that. And so at the beginning of this episode, Dan and I were doing our exercises, and we'll continue to work out as we do the episode here and there, because we don't want to just, you know, be sitting the whole time. We need to be working out on, you know, getting healthy, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Star Trek is one of those things that is usually enjoyed sitting down, and I enjoy Star Trek a lot, so I sit down a lot, and I don't know, maybe I need to change some habits there.
Star Trek, I sit down a lot.
I think, well, that was the name of Star Trek 12, right? Oh no, that was So Very Tired.
Well, let's do some workout on turning pages, because we have a comic to review, and it's Star Trek Year 5, number 8. And so I've got the cover in front of me, and we have Kirk, Sulu, and Spock floating around out in space near the Tholian web. But the funny thing is, Spock never does that in the whole issue.
The inaccuracies of this cover, it's like they're taking a page from the old pocketbooks novels. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. This cover can't be canon.
That said, it's a gorgeous cover, though.
It is. It is. It's a great cover. It's the spirit of the cover for this issue. So this issue is written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, and the art is by Stephen Thompson. And we pick up where we left off in the last issue, which is that, in short, the Enterprise is trapped in a Tholian web, and there's another alien ship that is also trapped. And so Kirk and Sulu suit up in their EV suits, and they're out there, you know, visiting the alien ship, and the ship is stuck, and they have to get back to the Enterprise, and they're going to use this aquatic ship to use the, since it's filled with water, they can use that as ice to freeze the web, shoot it, and bust through the web and get out of there. So ice is nice for this issue.
Indeed. Indeed. What killed the Tholians? The Ice Age. No, sorry. That was bad.
Well, that's cool because at the end of the last issue, number 7, we see Tholians, a bunch of those little Tholians all like scattering and running down the web, which was really cool. We thought that was so cool because it's like a bunch of little spiders.
So creepy. So
that it is. And that's where we are in this issue, because now those little guys are like scurrying around and then they form like a Tholian chain to get over towards the Enterprise, and Sulu and Kirk are still out there with this alien that they found on the ship.
You know, it's like, did you ever play Barrel of Monkeys as a kid? That's what this is reminding me of. These Tholians all linked together.
Yeah, and Barrel Monkeys, those monkeys were usually red, just like those Tholians.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, they need to come out with a Barrel of Tholians.
Yes.
I would buy that.
I would totally buy that. Oh, we might be the only two, but I would totally buy that.
CBS licensing, get on that. I would buy a Barrel of Tholian monkeys. Or whatever you want to call it. Oh my gosh, that would be excellent. And then, so anyway... What do you think at this point in the issue?
Right now, I'm just agog at the artwork. Like, I'm loving these visuals of these Tholians in space. We're getting a lot of 2-page spreads here, I'm noticing, of the Kirk and Sulu and this alien AL floating in space with the Tholians coming down the web towards them. I'm just thinking this is gorgeous. Like, I'm getting into the story and I think it's really cool, but for me, the artwork is just really blowing me away at this point.
And I like Al. I mean, she looks gorgeous, or she doesn't really have a gender. I say it's a she, but we'll get to that later.
They refer to them as they in this a couple times. Yeah. The singular they.
The singular they. And, but, you know, Spock is on the ship, you know, he's in command and he's making decisions. But there's some questions about his decision making, of course, by McCoy, and Spock is sweating on the bridge, and McCoy is down in whatever near his lab or wherever, where we have the Tholian Bright Eyes secluded in there when Chapel's with McCoy. And basically, Spock had mind meld with Bright Eyes, the Tholian, in a previous issue, and McCoy starts to realize that may have affected Spock.
Yeah, and this image of Spock sweating on the bridge and being indecisive, saying, "I don't know." When have we ever heard Spock say, "I don't know," and look nervous like that? It's kind of scary.
It is. So Al is with Sulu out in space, and Sulu's bringing they back to the ship. But Kirk is still out there, and he's going to detonate the alien ship that has the water in there to create the ice so they can get out of the Tholian web. And he's struggling through that as Tholians are shooting at him. While back on the Enterprise, Spock is asking, you know, Scotty to have the ship ready. And of course, what does Scotty always say? "Oh, you're pushing me too far. I can't do this right now," or whatever. That kind of stuff is going on, you know. But at the same time, Bright Eyes is kind of freaking out. And he starts busting through the hull of the ship, and McCoy wants to go in and grab him, and Chapel's pulling McCoy back. "You'll kill us all." "Damn it, Chapel, let me go save the Tholian." "No, I'm saving you, McCoy." That's not in there. I'm just saying that. But that's pretty much what's happening. But I was kind of surprised the Tholian busts through the ship, and then he comes flying out into space with his little teddy bear.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, yeah, the explosive decompression, of course, has pushed everything out into space. So, yeah, we get this whole page shot. And again, it's just gorgeous artwork of him blasting through the wall, being pushed out by the decompression, and all of the toys and objects and stuff that Uhura had provided them are flying out with them. So the teddy bear, I see like some pieces of a chess set, the ball, pencil, the little figure. It's actually a really cool shot. And we see the Enterprise in the background as he's flying away from it too.
In a lot of ways, it could have been the cover. It looks that good.
Yeah, that would have been a great cover, actually. Although, like I said, I like the cover, but it's beautiful.
It would make a good poster, too.
Yeah.
So Sulu's back on the ship and he's on the bridge now with Spock and Chekov. And he says, you know, oh, you know, we can't leave the captain behind. And so Kirk's out there dealing with the Tholians. And so what happens? But Bright Eyes shows up and grabs Kirk's hand and helps escort Kirk back towards the Enterprise floating through space. And as that's going on, Kirk counts down to set off the detonator. Prepare for detonation in 3, 2, 1, boom. And then they go flying towards the ship and Kirk is saved by Bright Eyes. But he's not in great condition as he's beamed onto the ship. And because he's been out in space, in the vacuum of space, for more than about 5 minutes. But he was in a suit, right? So what does that mean?
Yeah, you do see it kind of being eaten away, though.
Yeah,
so I think they do say he's been exposed to the vacuum of space for approximately 5 minutes. So that must have been when his suit lost pressure or whatever.
Yes, so that was it, yes. And so then we have him back on the ship, but Spock says that he fears for Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he feels fear. I guess that's from the Tholian. But then we also have Sulu in his quarters, and Al comes in to visit with him, and that's where they're talking about gender. So her race, or his race, or his race, their race. I'm all confused. So their race says, you know, that they have a term for gender, but then they don't have a term that distinguishes between the different genders. There's just one word for gender, but there's not a gender, but there's not a word for man. Mm-hmm. And that's what Sulu is saying. You're saying your people have a word for gender, but not one for man.
And their species seems to be very fluid, kind of almost kind of implying that they change as needed. I'm not sure, but
that's what I gather too, because, Al says that, well, how did you know that you're a man? And Sulu says, well, I've always known. And Al says, well, you know, what happens when you flow to another gender? And he's like, well, I don't. And Al's basically saying that, well, they adapt to whatever, or they flow from one thing to another, and there's no reason to label anything. You are just what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that too, because I always feel that when we label things, it really restricts us or puts us in a category. And I like the idea of just thinking like, okay, well, maybe you are more masculine than feminine, but you do have feminine traits, or vice versa. And it's like, well, why do you have to be one or the other? Why can't you just be whatever you are at that moment, or and who you are, without having to label one thing or the other? You just are.
Mm-hmm. And I do like that Sulu even kind of talks about it a bit from the human perspective, and we get a bit of indication that our thinking has evolved over the coming centuries and stuff. When he says, I'm a man, it's one of a wide array of gender identities available to people of my species. So there are multiple gender identities beyond just man and woman, it sounds like, in the 23rd century. So, you know, people do find themselves on more of a spectrum, I'm assuming.
And then we get to a scene where Al kisses Sulu, mm-hmm. a makeout scene.
And Sulu even gets to say, oh my.
No, he doesn't. Oh, yeah, he does.
He does. He absolutely does.
You're kidding. You're right. He does.
Yeah, because Al says, what seems truly difficult, Hikaru, is attempting to view the universe through the labels your ancestors established long ago, especially when one is experiencing attraction. And Sulu, of course, replies, oh my. And yeah, Al kisses Sulu, and it seems to be returned, judging by where Sulu's hand is on Al's face there as well.
Yes. Well, we have to leave that scene then, because we have to go to an exterior shot of the Enterprise, and then we go down to a planet, which I guess is the planet of the Tholians. And in past issues, there was a Tholian that seemed to be setting things up that was causing a lot of this infighting or weaponry that is trying to introduce to the Tholians. This Tholian says, we may have overestimated them, the Tholians, I mean. We've held their hands, gave them weapons, showed them to where to lay the trap, and still the way is not prepared. And then we see an image of a person says, doesn't matter. That's what we're for, old friend. And the Tholian says, but don't you ever get tired of babysitting adolescent species, of being the only adults in the room? Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second, because if no one wants to be spoiled, then jump ahead like 2 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, because then we got something that's revealed here. So this Tholian, who we were wondering in a past issue, is this really a Tholian or someone in a costume? Because they're talking like maybe they're not really a Tholian, or they're doing something to Tholians. And now we find out, we see this Tholian shapeshift into like a human form, and then into, I don't know what other form that would be. It almost looks like...
I'm thinking it's just like halfway between the human and the cat, right? Because...
a feline type humanoid looking image. And then we get down to a cat, and the cat's standing next to the silhouette of a human, and it's not Future Guy from Enterprise, but gee, who could it be picking up the cat? This man in a suit, Gary Seven.
Mm-hmm. That was quite the reveal. I thought that was really fascinating. I did not even suspect, like, I think when we talked about the last issue, we were like, oh, what could this Tholian be? A shapeshifter? I think we were kind of right about that. Or, yeah, you know, somebody in a suit, like, what is this? I did not suspect Gary Seven and Isis. Like, that's me pretty either. Cool.
Not at all. Did not see that one coming. But then it makes me wonder, what is he up to? What, you know, like, did he want the Tholians to attack the Enterprise and trap it? Like, what is, why would he want that?
Yeah, I'm really curious about that as well, because, you know, we never got the impression that anything he was doing was belligerent when he appeared in the original series. So, you know, one would assume this is part of some larger plan, but, you know, what's the end game? What's the goal here? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out in issue 9 next month.
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, that being said, let's go on to some comments that we received in the Babel Conference for our episode number 289, It is Better to Heal Than to Harm. And this was the episode where we're talking about the last book in the Destiny trilogy, and we had David Mack on, and that book was called Lost Souls. And the first comment I'm looking at here is from Christopher Bakken. He says, I remember the blackout of 2003. And side note, that's something that David Mack was talking about in an interview in New York, the blackout that they had. Christopher goes on to say, I lived out on Long Island. We wound up camping in the backyard since it was so hot in the house. I was out at the time, and at first it just seemed like a local blackout. It took a little while to figure out what was going on. Cell phones weren't working either once the local cells lost power. It's just so amazing to imagine just being in New York and just everybody's out power for a long period of time like that. Nothing's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, I'm quite a ways from New York, but I remember seeing that on the news as it stretched out. And it lasted quite a long time. Definitely something to be very memorable for the people who lived through that, for sure. Justin Ozer says, listening now and loving the interview. David Mack always has so many great insights, and I loved hearing the complete story of how Destiny came about. It makes so much sense that Destiny is the story of Erica Hernandez all the way through. It's really about her destiny to indirectly set into motion the creation of the Borg and then to directly liberate all Borg everywhere. I just hadn't realized it in that way until now. Hernandez is such an amazing character, and Book 3 ties everything together in such an amazing way. And the ending is one of the most moving things I've ever read. My rating for the Destiny trilogy is 10 trillion liberated Borg. Great rating.
Yeah, that's a lot of Borg that are liberated. 10 trillion. Yes. And then Francisco Roland de Baez says, great show, guys. I read this trilogy some years ago, but it hooked me in Star Trek books. Before, I didn't care much. I was into Star Wars books. I don't read all like you, but I use your podcast to decide what to read. Never stop the good work. What would be really nice to have is audiobook versions of the trilogy. Oh, yes. Okay. I agree with that. That would be great to have audiobooks of the trilogy. I don't think we're going to get those anytime soon, though.
Yeah, that would be nice, though. And thanks so much for the kind words. That's really nice of you. And glad we can help you decide what to read. Kimberly Lawler says, "This was an awesome interview. Thank you. So interesting to hear about the development process for these books and David Mack's insight into all the character and story decisions. It's phenomenal how it all came together into such a compelling story. What I truly love is how, amidst all the brutality and horror story aspects, which, to be honest, are pretty intense here, the theme of hope really shines through. The ending for the Borg is a perfect Star Trek solution. The way he moved from the most sad to the most hopeful epilogues for particular characters was masterful. I give it 5 out of 5 Monet paintings at the end of the world. And if Picard goes in a whole different direction, as seems likely, I would happily think of the last 15 to 20 years as the Destiny timeline. On a more serious note, I hope David was just joking at the end, but he did sound kind of not joking about being depressed about his current writing drought. I hope he's all right. I look forward to reading his Kelvin timeline book, as I think it will be great to read an original Enterprise novel where the characters can't just be switched with the original Enterprise crew. Should be a great read." Thank you very much for that comment, and I absolutely agree. I'm really looking forward to David's look at the Kelvin timeline. And here's hoping that that drought ends right away, because I don't want to imagine a world of Star Trek novels without David Mack's voice in it.
Yeah, just so you know, after the show, he continued talking to us about that new Kelvin timeline novel, and he's really excited for us to read it because, you know, he wrote it about 10 years ago, and he's really proud of it, and he thinks it really fits in well with that series of movies. So I'm looking forward to it, too. And Oz Trekkie says, "A truly epic story by David Mack. It's great to hear the inspirations for the various parts of the story from David himself. There's so much interconnectivity with every series and different novels, it's a little overwhelming and hard to know what to pluck out as my favorite part. Suffice to say, I love the series pulls all the existing threads together and ties them up in a nice bow and also sets up multiple storylines for the next 10 years. Truly masterful storytelling. Thank you, David Mack, for such fantastic writing. May you live long and prosper." Well, may you #LLAP is what he said. Yes.
And finally, Jeff Lubin says, "Great show and great interview. It was fun hearing more writing/publishing backstory for these books than we'd gotten in previous interviews. I love that the payoff we get in Lost Souls really does reward the reader for slogging through the destruction and hopelessness of the first two books. Though I'm sad we didn't get to find out during the interview what music David Mack had in his head for the redemption of the Borg." Now, David Mack did reply to this comment, saying that it was the track Evie Reborn from the score of V for Vendetta. So, you know, the next time you're reading Book 3 of Destiny and the redemption of the Borg is happening, if you can, find that track, put it on, and listen to that while you're reading it. I bet you that's a pretty cool experience.
Yes. I don't have that soundtrack, but I can go into Spotify and listen to it. I need to do that. I want to know what that's like, that song. So I have no idea. I never even seen that movie.
Oh, really? Oh, man. It's a good movie. I really enjoy that film. If you've read the graphic novel, I would recommend that as well. But the film is very well done.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out. Well, we also got an email from Dan Smithwick in Tennessee, and he says, "Dear Dan and Bruce, sorry I'm not on Facebook, but I'm very active in your Goodreads group. Thank you for your recent three-parter involving the Destiny series, as well as the recent episode on collateral damage. I truly hope you will be discussing A Singular Destiny and Losing the Piece. Although Losing the Piece was published in 2009, it is highly relevant to 2019 treatment of refugees, democracy, wrestling with civil rights and security. Your weekly show is one of the highlights of my week as I commute to and from work. I note that you did not ask David Mack his thoughts on the Borg in the new Picard series. Did you deliberately avoid that question? Are you bored with those kind of questions? For a lot of us, it seems it would throw off our headcanon just to dump the events from the Destiny series. As I have watched the previews for the upcoming show, it looks to me like it fits perfectly with Destiny, but none of the online reviews address that. For example, the Romulans have a cube. Of course, they have a cube. There are probably a lot of abandoned cubes. The previews suggest that there are a lot of X-drones being held as prisoners due to their status as Borg, of course, there are. I'd be interested in your thoughts because you two seem to be able to easily put it all together with laughter, or at least with zero anxiety. Thanks again for your wonderful show. First of all, the Singular Destiny and Losing Peace novels, yes, I think we'll be getting to those here soon. It won't be for the next couple of episodes, but we will be getting to those soon because we want to finish the rest of the post-Destiny books and catch up to where Literary Treks started reading and reviewing post-Destiny books. So those will be coming. As for why we didn't ask David Mack about his thoughts of the Borg and the new Picard series, well, it wasn't because we were asked to avoid it, but there's been times we've had authors come on that are familiar with the new shows that are coming out and request that we kind of not go there because it kind of puts them on the spot. In this case, David didn't mention that to us, but I think we're just used to not going there. But I think it would make more sense to ask David about his thoughts of the Borg and how it relates to Destiny once the series comes out. So I would love to ask him that when he comes back on the show sometime.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we'd get a much more interesting answer at that point as well, because, at this point, there's nothing really that can be said beyond what's in the trailers, and, you know, people don't want to spoil anything and that sort of thing, whether or not they have that knowledge or not. It's going to be more interesting once we know what that series actually looks like.
Yeah, I really do want to tackle that. So we will hopefully get to that sometime in the next few months when the first season of Picard ends. Yes.
So exciting.
I know, I'm so excited. But let's go ahead and run around the block one more time, and then we're going to welcome our guest in and talk about Body by Starfleet. So Dan, ready? On your mark, get set, go! All right. Well, Dan, it's been a hard workout today for me, but I feel great. I feel like I'm in shape. How about you? Are you fit and ready to work on a starship?
Well, I don't know about fit, but I feel like this is going to help me get there, what we're going to be talking about today. I'm kind of more of a hairy mud physique at the moment, but I'm going to be working on that now.
I felt bad because I went to the dentist today and they said, hey, we can, clean your teeth with different flavors. And one of them was cookie dough. And I'm like, no, because then I'm just going to want to leave and eat cookies all day. And that's not going to help either. So, but yeah, we have this book out that just came out called Star Trek Body by Starfleet, a fitness guide. And it's got illustrations and it's got all these exercises in here. And it's written by Rob Perlman. And Rob's here in the gymnasium with us. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Really good. Glad to have you on the show.
I'm really, really happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I just have to ask one thing. This is the thing that's been on my mind the most is why? Where did you get this idea and say, you know what? We need to do a book, Star Trek book about exercising.
During the process, I was often asking myself that question. Why am I doing this? It's kind of a funny story, I guess, with funny in air quotes. So about 2 years ago, I did something that I didn't ever really do before, and that was commit to joining a gym. I was just feeling kind of tired all the time, and I just felt like I needed something to get my blood pumping and maybe lose a little bit of weight, maybe gain a little bit of muscle, but also just sort of take some time for me in a busy life. So I joined a really small gym near my home in New Jersey, and I was terrified because it wasn't really one of those spaces that I was accustomed to being in. I always imagined the gym would be filled with all of these, 7 foot tall muscle heads who could bench press me, let alone, anything else. And what I found was this group that Chris Tutela runs. It was a really good group of guys from all different backgrounds with all different body types who were incredibly encouraging and supportive of me being at my fitness level and each other being at their various fitness levels. And I was going there for about a year. And of course, during that time, I was attending lots of pop culture conventions and especially Star Trek conventions, which I've been going to for years. And I noticed lots of similarities between those two groups. You know, the Star Trek fans are an incredibly supportive and kind group of people who all get together for a common purpose and are very inviting and welcoming to everybody else. And regardless of where you're from or what you look like or what your body shape is or, you know, where you're from originally or what your job is, you are welcome into this group. And I thought, wow, you know, these people from completely different places, you know, the gym world and the Star Trek world are actually exhibiting a lot of the same characteristics. And then I just sort of put that off to my head. And then one day as I was doing or trying to do crunches at the gym, I thought, oh, you know, crunches, that's a Wesley Cruncher. Ha ha. That's pretty funny. And as I was doing more exercises and sort of looking around, I was like, well, this is sort of similar to being at a convention and everyone's really supportive. And the more I was thinking about it, the more I was taking a couple of days and, you know, just sort of writing down sort of little ideas for fun. And then I just sort of, you know, took a step back and looked at it. I was like, I think this might be something. I think these two disparate groups of people actually have much more in common than they think they do, or that most people would think that they do. And isn't that kind of like Starfleet, you know, with everybody getting together for a common goal and supporting each other? And I thought, you know, this was just sort of two great teams that taste great together, and let's see where it goes.
Well, and this is a perfect time for a book like this, too, because we're coming to the end of the year, the holidays, and when we hit January 1st or 2nd, everybody starts, you know, oh, I got to lose this weight. I need to start exercising. And they could actually use this book because it actually is real exercises.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think to your point, we definitely scheduled this for publication at the end of the year, specifically for people who want to start the new year with a resolution or making positive change in their lives. The purpose of this book was to really provide people with actual real exercises, but have fun doing it. So these aren't funny exercises. These are exercises to have fun with. Because I knew that when I was exercising, if I was enjoying myself while I was doing it, it wasn't as god-awful as it was when I wasn't enjoying myself doing it.
And it seems like it's a small thing, but even just reading through this book myself, I'm thinking to myself that, you know, I really hate exercising. I don't like doing this stuff. But even just that little bit of extra kind of whimsy connecting it to Star Trek, something that I love, would be enough to make me do that more often. So I think that's something that can't be overstated, that just adding a little bit of enjoyment to it can kick off something that would become enjoyable in and of itself eventually.
Yeah, agreed. You know, when you're in the gym and or at home and you're just trying to get motivated or get moving, you know, whatever your end goal is, if you can not dread doing it while you're doing it, that always helped. You know, one of the reasons I chose the gym I was going to is because it was relatively close to my home. And I realized I wouldn't be able to make as many excuses as I could if I had to travel for 15 or 20 minutes. So, you know, anything that breaks down a few of the barriers would be good. And, you know, I try to make it very clear, especially in the marketing and selling of this book, that this book is not about being the skinniest, and it's not about being the fastest or the strongest. It's about just making even small steps to living your better life. And when you're doing those kinds of things for yourself, then you're able to do those sorts of things for other people as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really do need to start exercising more. I've got a treadmill. And that's about it. And I don't even use it all that often. And my doctor's always telling me, you need to start exercising. I always hate going in for my physical because she always asks me, you know, so how's the exercise going? And I'm like, it was going well about a month ago, maybe. You know? But, you know, that's the problem. It's like, you know, in a lot of ways, it's, I don't know, it's something, just another thing I have to do during the day. But you're right, it needs to be something that's fun. You know, I've tried to do it where I'm like on the treadmill and I'm maybe watching TV or something, but we all love Star Trek here. So why not tie in something you really love into doing this kind of activity, because I would like to pretend that I'm Riker and doing the whole, you know, Riker maneuver, which is that leg lift thing, the leg extensions. That one actually cracked me up because, I mean, he's lift. It's, you know, you squat down the ground and you're lifting your leg up, you know, like Riker does when he's trying to straddle a chair.
Yeah. Yeah. That one came to me while I was at the gym performing that exercise. So, you know, imagine me on all fours with my leg lifted and then just breaking out in the giggles and nobody knows why I'm laughing. And then I sort of try to, like, you know, sort of explain it to people, but yeah, they didn't really believe
it. And
they
still don't get it.
They did not get it at all. I was like, there's this guy on he's on a starship, he lifts his leg funny, and yeah, they just sort of looked at me and they're like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as we've mentioned, all of the exercises in this book are legitimate, real exercises, and you've kind of connected them to various things in the Star Trek universe, like we said with the Riker leg lifts. Were there any that were kind of you know, difficult that you wanted to include that you had a hard time kind of finding? Because, I mean, for one thing, the book's full of puns and I love puns. So, you know, this is right up my alley. Were there any that you found more difficult to kind of link to Star Trek?
You know, some of the ones that work on the lower body, you know, Chris Sotelo, who helped me with all the mechanics of the book, who was my trainer, he calls them, I think they're called hip hinges, technically. And they're sort of when you bend over and you're sort of sticking your butt out. And I was like, well, how am I going to do that? Like, what possible Star Trek thing could there possibly be? And, you know, you're going down, you're sticking your butt out, and then you're standing up relatively quickly and your butt's going right back in. And I was like, oh, so it's sort of like when you're pulling something in from outer space with a tractor beam. Oh, okay. So now these are tractor beam bends. And then when you're doing that, but holding weights, I thought, well, you know, you're pulling things into the cargo bay. So those could be cargo bay load carries. Yeah. Some of them were definitely easier than others.
And of course, as you're saying this, I turn right to those pages and I'm looking at the illustrations as you're describing it. It just makes me laugh. Like, I mean, honestly, if I'm going to start doing this, I'm going to think of tractor beams and like you, yeah, I'll be doing the exercise and laughing. Everybody's looking at me. But, you know, these illustrations are a lot of fun, too. Tell us about that. Yeah. Who did these?
This brilliant, brilliant illustrator named Jason Kaiser. He has done a bunch of other things. And, you know, usually when I'm writing a book, I get, you know, a couple of samples of illustrations from the publisher to look at and, you know, maybe tweak, or this person isn't quite right, or maybe this person's too cartoony. And the minute Jason's samples came in, even in just the early days of the sketches, we all knew that he was the right guy for the job. He really understood Star Trek. He understood the uniform. He understood the facial expressions that we wanted to do. He got the mechanics of the step-by-steps. He's great. And he was such a pleasure to work with. And unbeknownst to me, he put me in the book, too.
I saw that. Yeah.
That was quite a surprise. Yeah.
Well, you're kind of in there more than once. You have one exercise, but then you're at the back of the book, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In like a little Brady Bunch square.
Yes, you're the yellow alerts armed and readies exercise.
Yes. Uh-huh.
See, I'm getting good at this. So I met you at STLV 2 years ago with the Search for Spock book, and I found you in there too.
Oh, did you? I'm everywhere. I'm like a Hitchcock. They just sort of put me into all these books.
I just remember coming up to your table and I got your book and you signed it and you opened a page, go, so see if you can find me in here, and I found it.
But yeah, the artwork, like Bruce was saying, it's so good, and I love how simple the pictures are, but immediately recognizable as who they're representing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just uncanny with the eyes and everything. It just like, that's Riker. That's totally Riker.
Now, are there other people in here that we wouldn't know that are friends of yours or something that you kind of slipped in?
You know, I don't think so. Maybe they're friends of Jason's that he slipped in.
Okay.
But it's just me. You know, speaking of the Riker illustration, did you happen to notice something in there?
Well, I noticed that in one scene, well, not scene, but he has a beard and he doesn't have a beard.
Indeed, yes. the last step in that exercise is contemplate growing a beard.
I did laugh out loud at that.
That's right. Yeah. So he's clean shaven at the beginning and then has a beard at the end.
He used to take a long time doing those exercises.
Yeah, I wanted to pepper it with little Easter eggs for the fans who would really get it.
Yes, we get it. And especially like the Gorn walks, you know, he can't straighten out. His legs are straight all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that was really the, after the Cruncher one that sort of started everything, the Gorn was really the first one that I actually sat down to properly write. And I was like, wow, you know, you're supposed to lift up your leg without bending your knee. And that's just like the Gorn. And I'm all in on a Gorn joke. I can never get enough of them. And that was just the easiest, most natural one to put down on paper. It was great.
Yeah. And there's so many in here. So that, yeah, the Gorn one is the first one in the book. Then we get the Riker's leg extensions. And we're not going to go through them all. But then the next one is Dana Troy's active listeners, where it's like neck bends. And I mean, at this point, just to let you know, I was traveling. I was in my hotel room and I opened this book. And I swear the people next door were probably wondering, what is this guy laughing about? Because I'm just cracking up, especially I got to Troy's neck bends. I'm like, OK, I'm done. I'm lost it.
You know, I was inspired. She's always really listening to people and nodding or shaking her head no, or sort of, you know, contemplating really what she's being told and being very thoughtful about it. And I was like, well, that's a perfect neck exercise.
And then there's the Vulcan side planks. And of course we see Spock doing these. I know the fact that it's about balance. Well, yeah. And Spock has to balance his human and Vulcan side.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I love that. Like, when I'm doing these in the future in the gym sometime, I'm going to be raising my arm in a Vulcan salute and people are going to be going, what the heck is this guy doing?
If you do, then my job here is done.
Perfect.
Yeah, you know, we put in a lot of things, you know, for people who are really just starting out, and then they could, you know, with more experience and more skill and more stamina, you could sort of increase your level. So we start with the Vulcan plank, and then once you've mastered that, then you can go to the Vulcan side plank.
And then Quark's bucket of Odo walks.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, where do I get the Odo buckets to carry around?
I'm sure wherever fine buckets are sold, right?
I think that's a great tie-in opportunity for this book. Starfleet exercise equipment, you know.
Yeah. You know, at Comic-Con and Book Expo in New York Comic-Con, we had Body by Starfleet sweatbands made.
Cool.
They were a big hit. Everyone liked them.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I just looked at the Body by Starfleet hashtag just to kind of see, and I saw a few people sporting that on Twitter. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to hear. I'm hashtagable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are hashtagging.
I'm sure my mother will be so proud.
Now, I mean, this manual's also good because in the back, there's several pages. It's your captain's workout log, and that's where you can put, you know, the date. Of course, it says star date, but the star date, the activity, time, distance, sets, reps, weight. So this is weight. Yes, I need to do this. I need to track my weight. That's what will inspire me to watch it drop. You know, each line, that's what I need to do. But I mean, this really is a legit thing. So
it's a legit thing. Yeah. You know, we wanted to make sure that people had a way to track their own progress. And although, you know, smartwatches and phones are really great, I always found, and maybe just because I'm a writer and I tend to physically write things down a lot. But when you're taking pen to paper and writing down your progress, it becomes a little bit more real to you. And it becomes a little bit more of a goal that you've achieved. You have more ownership over that because you actually put it down in your own hand rather than just sort of typing it in.
Yeah, there's definitely something to that. Like psychologically for me, I do checklists for things that I have to get done because there's just something viscerally great about checking it off and scratching it out that I've done it.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely something to that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I get spreads or proofs from publishers to look at for any of my books, I always print them out as, you know, as big as I possibly can and then go through them and then I write all over them. And then I go back into the computer and then I type it in again because it's just an easier, it's a more efficient way for me to do it. And I think my brain works a little bit differently when I'm actually holding the physical piece of paper in my hand rather than just looking at it on a screen.
Yeah, it's something about when you make lists, whether it's writing or it's on a screen, but yeah, you're held accountable to yourself because now it's in writing. It's like I know when I try to exercise or lose weight and you know I'm really focused on doing it, if I'm not tracking it, then I don't feel like I'm committed to doing it. Because if, for example, I go into a restaurant and I go, oh, wow, yeah, cheeseburger sounds really good. Yeah, but then I have to write that down. And I don't want to write cheeseburger. You
know? With your greasy fingers staining the paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's like, you know, exercising. It's like if you're tracking the dates and what you're doing, you know, if you're like, ah, I can skip a day. Oh, I can skip the next day or whatever. All of a sudden you're like, oh, gosh, but I don't want to have to write in there that it's been 5 days or 7 days since I've actually picked up a Tribble and did my exercises with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're totally right. I think there's a certain amount of accountability that comes into it. And it's something that you don't have to show anybody else. It's just for you.
That you close your book and no one sees it. So that's a good thing.
Exactly.
Okay. So speaking of these exercises, it's not totally, totally real exercises in here. Because also towards the back of the book are exercises for non-humanoids. And some of these you could do, but really, I mean, I can't do a horde of shag, can I?
Have you tried?
I don't lay eggs.
Have you tried?
No.
Well, then you don't know. I did think it was important and just a little bit more fun to include different species in it. You know, obviously the vast majority of Starfleet members are humanoids or bipedals, but there's lots who aren't. So, you know, they deserve to get some ink too. I thought, and you know, I thought just going back to what we were saying before, just you know, these fun Easter egg things, just to get people laughing while they're squatting. Every little bit helps. I thought the tricky bit was, you know, knowing when to stop because I could have gone on this for a really long time.
Definitely, yeah. And it's funny that that section comes up right at the end because I actually, you know, in my brain, I was reading through this. I was picturing myself in the 24th century, right? Reading this as like someone in Starfleet, because it's kind of written from that perspective. And I was like, well, there's so many different species. Like, I don't know that these exercises would pertain to every single species out there. And then I flipped the page and sure enough, you know, Talosian is doing exercises with their mind and that's great. It was perfect.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, we had a bit of discussion about where to put those exercises. We didn't know at the beginning when we were first laying out the book, should we sort of scatter them around? Should we put them in the middle as sort of like an intermission? And then I think it was my editor who sort of had your point, like, let's just have this as the cherry on the sundae that is this exercise book and really leave people with a smile. And I was like, you know what, looking at everything, you're totally right.
Yeah, I think that's the right call, because since these are real exercises, if they were intermingled, you'd be questioning, now is this one a real one or is this not a real
exactly.
one as you're going through?
Yeah.
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 Because we're only talking about five of these in the back that are like this.
Yeah. 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 We didn't want to go crazy with it. And that's why every writer needs a really good editor.
Yes. And every podcast needs a good co-host. That's why Dan's here, too.
Well, thank you. I do just want to talk about my absolute favorite one, which is Ambassador Kolos's Medusan vessel stretches. Which, I mean, there's lots of puns with the episode title and stuff in there too, but the basis of it is, you know, anybody looking at a Medusan is going to go mad regardless of whether or not they're packing on a few pounds or not. So just tell people you've been working out and they'll believe you.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. No harm, no foul. Yeah, and you know, he's in the vessel, and I wanted to have a little Starfleet officer in the back just sort of shrugging his shoulders like, I don't know. Maybe he's working out. I guess he is. Okay.
I guess the only ones that would be able to tell, of course, would be maybe Spock and Miranda Jones. Maybe he's a little heavier than last week. I don't know. You know, have to set the anti-grav a little higher this week.
Well, that's the other thing to point out is that the characters in here, the representation of from TOS all the way through Discovery. So we've got all the series represented throughout the book. So, like, you know, we saw like Tilly working out, for example.
Yeah, Tilly's in there. Georgiou's in there. Spock is in there. Chekhov is in there. We've got Odo and Kira. A little bit for everybody.
I think T'Pol's in here from Enterprise, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we've got everybody.
Yeah.
Worf.
We've got Quark as well there. Yeah.
Yeah, and Geordi.
Oh, yeah, right. The visor pulls. Uh-huh.
So then there's another thing. It's not in the book, but I saw this video on StarTrek.com.
Oh, the video.
The video. It's this little promotional video about your book. And
yeah.
Tell us about the video.
Do I have to?
Yes.
I'm wearing tights throughout the video. It was an illuminating experience. So when the book was probably about halfway done, I guess, I had the bright idea to shoot sort of a little fun exercise video, like the ones from the 1980s, you know, with like the Jane Fonda workout, like, here's what you can do. And then it just sort of blossomed from that. And when we were at Star Trek Las Vegas this past summer, the good folks from CBS and I and my friend Victoria shot this exercise video in front of lots of the props and the sets. And we, you know, we ran around the bridge and we did some triple twists and I did a Gorn walk. There were some Vulcan planks and they did such a good job with it, sort of having fun and really getting into the spirit of everything and trying to make it clear that these are real exercises for real people at various, you know, stages of their fitness and just to have fun and you know, enjoy it. And so it's, you know, what, 3 minutes of me smiling goofily at the camera, sweating my head off. But it came out really good. It came out, everyone was so supportive and they had such a good time with it. And at the very, very end, there was a shot. I was on a panel at Star Trek Las Vegas all about Body by Starfleet. And I demonstrated some exercises. And then at the very end, I was like, all right, who wants to be in a video? And to be honest with you, I thought maybe five people would come up on the stage and we would do some jumping jacks. And then we just sort of smile and wink at the camera. And I'd say maybe 30 people jumped on the stage in their Body by Starfleet sweatbands, and some were in costume and some were in regular clothes. And someone off to the side said, don't do the jumping jacks, because they didn't think that like 30 people jumping on the stage would hold. And I was like, oh, great. So we did the squats and everyone just had such a good time and they were incredibly supportive about it. And I was so glad that members of the fan community was able to participate in it, because this was all done for them. You know, it was great fun.
Awesome. Yeah. And it came out very well. That was a lot of fun. You could tell that everyone was really enjoying that. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have to say we started shooting it before the convention opened, just to sort of avoid getting in everybody's way, because it does get pretty crowded there and we didn't want to take away from people's enjoyment of the sets or the props or anything. So we started, I think, at about 8 o'clock in the morning. which was pretty early. But the minute we started, you know, jumping around and running, our blood was pumping, and then we were fine for the rest of the day.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's good incentive to people out there. Should, you know, start their day off with a few of these exercises and, you know, be ready to face your day of daily duty on a starship.
Indeed. Indeed. And, you know, if you can't, you know, devote a half an hour a day to just, you know, straight exercise, take small steps. You know, instead of taking the elevator or the escalator, take the stairs, or, you know, walk to the store instead of, you know, driving, or ride your bike, or, you know, just think about what you're eating during the day and, you know, do you really need the sugary thing? Can you try something, you know, sugar-free, or, you know, just small steps? That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I had lost weight several years ago at work. I worked on the seventh floor, and I would do the stairs to get, you know, and I mean, actually, you know, for a while I'd get up to the floor and I'd walk in, I'm out of breath, and people are like, "Are you okay? Why are you out of breath?" I'm like, "Cause I did the stairs." I'm like, "Why would you do this?" Just for that reason. Cause I'm like, I'm going to be sitting practically all day and I feel like I need some exercise. And after a while, I mean, not only did I lose weight, and it's not just because of the stairs, but I was, you know, watching what I was eating and stuff. But after a while, I was now doing the stairs and I wouldn't be out of breath nearly as much, you know. People would say, "Oh, you didn't take the stairs today." I'm like, "No, I did. I'm just, you know, I'm good at it now."
Yeah. And slow and steady wins the race. You know, if it's too difficult to go to climb up the stairs, start by just going down the stairs, you know, take the elevator up and take the stairs down.
Oh, my favorite part was going down the stairs. That was much easier.
Gravity, man.
And faster, too.
And faster.
Yeah. So now, if anybody wants to purchase this book, how can they go about doing that?
It is available wherever books are sold. I, of course, encourage everybody to frequent their local independent bookseller, because I love those guys. But it's online. And if you go to my website, robperlman.com, there's a link there, and it will take you to another website where you can buy from a variety of booksellers.
And it's a physical book, but I think I saw somewhere it's also available as an ebook. Is that right?
I believe it is, yeah.
So you got choice of either the hardcover book, which you can write in, or you can do the ebook, you know, whatever works for everybody. So what else do you have on the horizon? Anything else you're working on?
Oh, yeah. So this was my fifth Star Trek book. I've got a couple of others in the works that I can't quite talk about yet. But next year, I've got some Bob Ross books coming out.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You're going to be my daughter's hero. She loves Bob Ross.
Well, then she will love Bob Ross and Peapod the Squirrel is the first Bob Ross picture book that just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, very cool.
So Bob paints a picture, so his friend Peapod will have some place to live. So that's pretty cool. And then next year, I've got a book called Talking IRL. It's a book for small talk for people who have to talk to people, because we're all on, you know, on email and text, and people have forgotten how to just make simple conversation with one another. So if you have to talk to somebody, then this is the book for you for that. There's a book, it's a touch and feel book for grownups called Pet This Effing Puppy. So it's designed with like six tactile elements for you to just calm down and, you know, think about your day and pet this puppy and smell these roses.
Oh, man. That sounds great.
Thanks. Yeah. And the cover is my dog Oscar, and Jason Kaiser, who illustrated Body by Starfleet, illustrated that book for me too.
Oh, cool.
Oh, great. Yeah. I'm looking at that now on your website. I love how the Pet This Effing Puppy has the little butterfly covering the UC in that.
Well, we didn't want to offend everybody if it was face out on a bookstore shelf.
Right. I just want to know how the bookseller lists it in their catalog.
That's a good question. I think it depends on the bookseller. Yeah, so those are the most recent ones coming out.
All right. Anything else? Now, I mean, you have some association with the Star Trek calendars too, right?
I do. You know, in my day job, I'm the associate publisher at Rizzoli Publications, and we are the publisher of the official Star Trek calendars. So it's calendar buying season. So the wall calendar for the original series and Discovery and the Ships of the Line have just come out. There's a poster calendar featuring all the TNG posters. There's a full-color day-to-day that's 365 pages of ephemera and quotes and trivia throughout. And then there's an exclusive Klingon engagement calendar where all the days and the dates are in English and in Klingon.
Yeah, I'm a huge, I always buy a bunch of the calendars every year. I think I've purchased the Ships of the Line one since it first started way, 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 way back when.
Yeah, and, it's a long time.
Oh, they're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
so
I love those.
I always have that up beside my desk here.
Oh, that's great. I think they keep getting better too, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, these artists are just amazing. I'm lucky if I could do a stick figure when I'm trying to explain to an illustrator what I want done, but it's magic.
Yeah, I think it was last year I had the daily calendar that had like the trivia, which that was always fun because every day, yeah, I'd wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to get up. Oh, wait, I got to change the calendar because I want to read what it's going to say.
Yeah, it's great. They get a great response.
Yeah, and it's that time of year because we got to update our calendars. We're going into 2020, so.
Hard to believe.
2020.
I know. Gosh. It's like, I remember thinking when I was a kid, man, when it's 2020, I'm going to be old. Well, yeah. Here it is.
Well, you proved that theory, so. Yeah.
So you did, you mentioned your website, robperlman.com. Is there anywhere else people can follow you and kind of keep up to date on what's coming out from you?
Yeah, I'm on all the usual social media. I'm on Facebook at Rob Perlman, Instagram at Rob Perlman, and Twitter at Ms. Mazzeppa. But if you go to my website, you'll see all the links to all that stuff, and you can just click and follow me there. And also you can sign up for my new newsletter on my website as well, where I promise not to be too annoying every 3 weeks, talking to you about my day or what I had for dinner. But they'll just keep everybody updated on the new books that are coming out and, of course, pictures of my dog.
All right. Well, it's been great having you, and we don't want to keep you from your workout. So.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks
I've been
for
jogging
on.
This entire time, so don't worry about it.
See, you've done a lot of training, you're not out of breath. You got, we can't tell that you've been jogging the whole time.
Acting.
And done. Okay. Whew. I just finished a Quark's bucket of Odo walk, and boy, are my arms tired. Man. Okay. Whew. Let me just towel off here. Well, that was a fun interview. I think, like I said during the interview, it's fun to kind of take a little bit of a break from the novels and do something a little bit different. And this definitely is a little bit different.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised when I opened this book. I was like, okay, well, this will be, interesting to look at and read, And as soon as I got to those first few exercises, I really was laughing out loud. And I know it's funny if I'm laughing out loud, because a lot of times I read stuff and I find it humorous, but I don't necessarily always laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. LOL. But in this case, I was. And I was just like, oh gosh, this is going to be really good. But yeah, the exercises are legit. So yeah, it's fun and it's informative. But it's not the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. There's more than just exercise in Star Trek. There's other things. So here's a quick look at some of the things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Literary Treks.
I knew from the beginning it was going to be a very large and complicated undertaking. I was asked by the editor and the licensor to come up with a storyline for Picard that would deal with the fallout of what I unleashed in my novel Section 31 Control, in which Section 31's crimes, and in fact its very existence, are publicly exposed to the Federation at large as well as its interstellar neighbors.
Earl Grey.
Troy looks down at her empty stomach. me do this part. I'm going to act it.
Okay. Troy looks down at her empty stomach and frowns telepathically.
Oh, I wish.
Listeners, could. You couldn't see it, but I did that.
Oh, okay.
LaForge, computer, locate a big thing of chips. To the journey!
What about the basics planet?
That planet's not bad. There's a lot of wide open spaces. You just have to avoid going in the caves.
Yeah. I mean, anthropologically speaking.
No spelunking on that planet. You can spelunk on the Borg Unicomplex, but you can't spelunk on that planet.
No.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
That he said...
He was taking the new body out for a ride?
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, it was a great line. It just doesn't really fit what really happened. Like, he wasn't out there dating other people, you know? Like,
well, he was trying to figure out who this new Culber was, you know?
No, I know, but...
It was funny. It was lighthearted.
Right. It just doesn't fit what he actually did.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. And you'll find us wherever you get your podcast, whether you're in an exercise room or just home sitting watching TV.
And if you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published and really enhance that next workout by listening to a Trek FM show, preferably ours. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. And if you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, YouTube, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
If you'd like to help us keep our shows coming to you each and every week, you can do that by becoming a patron on the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute, and work out these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the sports team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference. That's our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Literary Treks. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM.
Find us on our Goodreads group where we have bookshelves with all of our previously covered books as well as the currently reading section so you know what is coming up on future shows. Plus, there's great conversations happening about the books and comics, so just search for Literary Treks on Goodreads and click Join Group. And we'd like to thank Casey Pettit, Jeffrey Harlan, Justin Ozer, Brandon Shamatala, Greg Rosier, Ken Tripp, and Norman C. Lau for their support of the Trek FM network and being associate producers for Literary Treks as well. So Dan, when you're not doing Tilly's Command Training Program sprints, where can people find you?
Well, you won't find me doing those too often because, man, they seem a bit tiring. I tend to steer clear of anything with the word sprint in the name, but... maybe I should change that policy. But when I'm not doing that, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kertrats. That's K-E-R-T-R-A-T-S. You can also find me on youtube.com/Kertrats Productions, where I do videos mostly about Star Trek, but other sci-fi as well. You can find my website at treklit.com, where I review Star Trek novels, both old and new. And of course, in the Babel Conference, usually lurking, sometimes commenting. And Bruce, when you're not working hard on your one-sided Cardassian neck tricks, where can we find you?
Up and down, up and down, up and down. You can find me here on the network on Live from the Edge. Every time there's a new episode of Discovery, we have the live show, me and Brandi Jacola. And that's the night after an episode. We do it live on YouTube. You can find me also on the Star Wars Report, talking about Star Wars, like The Mandalorian and Rise of Skywalker. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex. And I'm always in the Babel Conference. So thanks everyone for listening, and until next time,
live long
and read on.
And practice your Vulcan side planks.
What do you call that, light reading?
To each his own, number one.